Hello, hello, hello. Here's Marlenka again with another episode. I had promised initially that I would read sometimes from Sri Aurobindo, sometimes from Bhagavad Gita, sometimes from Yeats, sometimes from other authors, and today I'd like to begin to read from Eckhart Tolle, from his book, The Power of Now. The truth that is within you. This book, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, represents the essence of his work, as far as it can be conveyed in words, with individuals and small groups of spiritual seekers during the past 10 years in Europe and in North America. In deep love and appreciation, I would like to thank those exceptional people for their courage, their willingness to embrace inner change, thought that kept repeating itself in my mind. Then suddenly, I became aware of what a peculiar thought it was. Am I one or two? If I cannot live with myself, there must be two of me. The I and the self that I cannot live with. Maybe, I thought, only one of them is real. These challenging questions and the readiness of people to listen, well, this book would not have come into existence without them. They belong to what is, as yet, a small but fortunately growing minority of spiritual pioneers. People who are reaching a point where they become capable of breaking out of inherited collective mind patterns that have kept humans in bondage to suffering for eons. I trust that this book will find its way to those who are ready for such radical inner transformation and so act as a catalyst for it. I also hope that it will reach many others who will find its content worthy of consideration, although they may not be ready to fully live or practice it. It is possible that at a later time, the seed that was sown when reading, when listening to this book, will merge with the seed of enlightenment that each human being carries within, and that suddenly that seed will sprout and come alive within them. The book in its present form originated, often spontaneously, in response to questions asked by individuals in seminars, meditation classes, private counseling sessions, and so I have kept the question and answer format. Some of the questions and answers I wrote down almost verbatim. Others are generic, which is to say that I combine certain types of questions that were frequently asked into one and extracted the essence from different answers to form one generic answer. Sometimes, in the process of writing, an entirely new answer came that was more profound or insightful than anything I had ever uttered. Some additional questions were asked by the editor so as to provide further clarification of certain points. You will notice that from the beginning to the end, the dialogues continuously alternate between two different levels. On one level, I draw your attention to what is false within you. I speak of the nature of human unconsciousness and dysfunction as well as its most common behavioral manifestations, from conflict in relationships to warfare between tribes or nations. Such knowledge is vital, for unless you learn to recognize the false, as not you, there can be no lasting transformation. and you would always end up being drawn back into illusion and into some form of pain. And on this level, I also show you how not to make that which is false in you into a self, into a personal problem, for that is how the false perpetuates itself. And on another level, I speak of a profound transformation of human consciousness, not as a distant future possibility, but available now, no matter who or where you are. You are shown how to free yourself from enslavement to the mind and enter into this enlightened state of consciousness and sustain it in everyday life. On this level of the book, the words are not always concerned with information, but often designed to draw you into this new consciousness as you read, as you listen. Again and again, I endeavor to take you with me into that timeless state of intense conscious presence in the now, so as to give you a taste of enlightenment. Until you are able to experience what I speak of, you may find passages somewhat repetitive. As soon as you do, however, I believe you will realize that they contain a great deal of spiritual power, and that they may become for you the most rewarding parts of the book. Moreover, since every person carries the seed of enlightenment within him, I often address myself to the knower in you who dwells behind the thinker, the deeper self that immediately recognizes spiritual truth and resonates with it and gains strength from it. As you begin reading or listening, the meaning of certain words such as being or presence may not be entirely clear to you at first. Just continue to read. Questions or objections may occasionally come into your mind as you read or listen, and they will probably be answered in the book later on, or they may turn out to be irrelevant as you go more deeply into the teaching and into yourself. Now, don't read or listen with the mind only. Watch out for any feeling response as you read, and a sense of recognition from deep within. I cannot tell you any spiritual truth that deep within you that you don't know already. All I can do is remind you of what you have forgotten. Living knowledge, ancient and yet ever new, is then activated and released from within every cell of your body. Now, the mind always wants to categorize and compare, but this book will work better for you if you do not attempt to compare its terminology with that of any other teachings. Otherwise, you will probably become confused. I use words such as mind, happiness, consciousness, in ways that do not necessarily correlate with other teachings. Don't get attached to any words. They are only stepping stones to be left behind as quickly as possible. And when I occasionally quote the words of Jesus or the Buddha, from A Course in Miracles, or from various other teachings, I do so not in order to compare, but to draw your attention to the fact that in essence, there is, and always has been, only one spiritual teaching, although it comes in many forms. Some of these forms, such as the ancient religions, have become so overlaid with extraneous matter that their spiritual essence has become almost completely obscured by it. And so, to a large extent, therefore, their deeper meaning is no longer recognized, and their transformative power lost. When I quote from the ancient religions or other teachings, it is to reveal their deeper meaning and thereby restore their transformative power, particularly for those readers who are followers of those religions or teachings. I say to them all, there is no need to go elsewhere for the truth. Let me show you how to go more deeply into what you already have. Mostly, however, I've endeavored to use terminology that is as neutral as possible in order to reach a wide range of people. This book can be seen as a restatement for our time of that one timeless spiritual teaching, the essence of all religions. It is not derived from external sources, but from the one true source within. So it contains no theory or speculation. I speak from inner experience. And if at times I speak forcefully, it is to cut through heavy layers of mental resistance and to reach that place within you where you already know, just as I know, and where the truth is recognized when it is heard. There is then a feeling of exaltation, heightened aliveness, as something within you says, yes, I know this is true. We will pause at this point for today and continue in the next episode. Thank you for listening. This is Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.